on Live and Local today, we have an excerpt or two from an original play called And I Remember, Reflections of Urbana Seniors, devised by Karen Vaccaro and Robert Quinlan. Both of them are with me on the show. Karen is giving the performance. It's a one-woman show, and Robert is directing her along with some able assistants. And we'll talk about those performances coming up this week. There's several of them in Urbana. And then on this later portion of the show, there's a concert on Sunday afternoon at 2 o'clock in Decatur by the Decatur Youth Symphony Orchestra. And we have with us their conductor, Gary Shaw. And we'll be talking about that orchestra program there, which is quite a worthy one for young people to get involved in. So as Vic DiGeronimo pointed out, we have younger and older represented on today's program. It's Live and Local on FM 90.9. And you heard a healthy dose of some music by Jacques Offenbach called Le Papillon, the Butterfly, performed here by the English Concert Orchestra led by Richard Bonning from a disc called, actually it's a double disc, when I just misidentified that, sorry, that's the track on the first CD. This was actually by Ricardo Drigo, Diane and Actéon, the Pas de Dieu from that ballet, a double disc called Ballet Gala. And I played that because we'll be talking later with Gary Shaw, director of the Decatur Youth Symphony Orchestra, and one of the pieces on their concert Sunday afternoon in Decatur is actually two excerpts from a ballet by Leo Delibes. We'll hear a lot more about that organization and the concert coming up in the later portion of the show. First, though, we have with us Karen Vaccaro and Robert Quinlan, who are respectively performer and director of the one-woman show called And I Remember, Reflections of Urbana Seniors, which is based on interviews that they did with Urbana Senior Citizens, sponsored by a grant from the City of Urbana Public Arts Commission and the Urbana Business Association. So in case you've heard of those grants and wondered, does anybody really get them? you guys did. So yes, thanks very much for coming in.
Thanks for having us.
Thanks.
Did you actually conduct the interviews, or were these interviews that had been conducted and you made use of them?
We did. We conducted all of the interviews ourselves and transcribed them.
Mm-hmm. And what was the goal in doing the interviews? Did you know you wanted to do a show, or were first?
We knew that was the goal, but the first step was in getting oral histories and then taking it from there. So that's what we did. We went to Prairie Winds in Urbana. It's a community for the older adult, and then also Canterbury Ridge, another assisted living facility.
And the first place that we went was the Provena Center for Healthy Aging, which is a great organization through Provena Hospital for seniors to meet, and they have workshops and different activities each week. And so we went into several of their coffee shops and met with participants, and then we scheduled some interviews with those people we met.
So what is there in your respective backgrounds that got you interested in doing a project like this?
We're theater artists. We wanted to work together on a piece, and we wanted to do something that would definitely serve the community, and we brainstormed and came up with this project.
And I know in my life, my parents took care of both of my grandparents as they were getting older. So I have great memories of listening to them tell stories and really having them reveal things late in life that I never knew about them. So I was interested in really talking to seniors and finding out their personal stories.
And of the interviews you conducted, how did you decide who would get represented in the show?
That was brutal.
Yeah, that was so difficult.
Because we probably spoke with, I don't know, 20 to 30 different people, and we've ended up focusing on three. So it was difficult. Really, the three people, we ended up focusing on three women that we thought their stories intersected with each other in really interesting and
In unusual ways.
Unusual ways. So we've kind of picked their stories and edited them together in a way that I think is kind of illuminates some things about growing older.
And when you did the interviews, did they know why they were being interviewed?
They did, yes.
That they might show up in a play?
Mm-hmm. They did. Mm-hmm. In fact, yesterday we performed at Prairie Winds for an audience that included Dorothy, who is one of the women featured in the show, and she loved it.
Is this her actual name?
It is her actual first name, yes.
Because, you know, usually say the names have been changed to protect the innocent just in case she revealed something that was risque or something.
Well,
we got permission and we thought, well, first names is, we go by first names in the script.
So the people that got chosen, an actress, a musician, and a poet.
Mm-hmm.
All artists. Was that deliberate?
It was. Mm-hmm. They also had other careers. Art really informed the way they lived their lives in many ways, but mm-hmm. they were teachers. Two of them were country school teachers, and one of them was worked in state mental institutions as her career. But they talk a lot about the way artistic thinking helped them to be unique in the way they approached their own careers.
And also, for me, what's very interesting about these three women is you look at someone, you think, oh, I know who that person is. And then as you go on and you hear their story, it surprises you actually who they are.
Each time we did one of these interviews, it was like being lost in a movie that you really couldn't predict the end of. You know, they're just, you never know what stories someone will have, what is really in their past. So.
And present.
And present.
Yeah. It was incredibly rich. And every time we would do an interview, it would almost as if we were taken to another place. It was mesmerizing.
Mm-hmm. So turn my microphone down, sorry. So which one is Dorothy, the actor, the poet, or the musician?
Dorothy acted when she was younger.
And you have a sample of the play regarding her?
We do.
As it happens, right? Completely unplanned. Just a reminder, we're talking with Karen Vaccaro and Robert Quinlan about their original play based on interviews with Urbana Senior Citizens, and I remember Reflections of Urbana Seniors, which actually officially, you said you gave sort of a preview for at the one home. But the official opening performance is tonight at 7 o'clock at Heartland Gallery.
That's correct. Mm-hmm.
Downtown Urbana. There's another one. These are all downtown Urbana. Tomorrow night at 7 at V Picasso Restaurant. And then Thursday at 7 at Silver Creek Restaurant with a matinee on Friday at 2, also at Silver Creek Restaurant. Mm-hmm.
In the greenhouse, yes.
In the greenhouse. So, any introduction required? Before you launch
no,
in?
No.
And Karen is the performer, so we're going to let her take a moment and have at it.
And he came here about 15 years ago to speak at the, Coliseum. It was him and Gore, you know, the VP. And so he comes out, Clinton does. And all the college kids start shaking his hand. And I thought, well, I'm not going to miss out on this. So there's five rows of empty seats. See? And then there's the receiving line. And so I walk up and there's these two college boys. And I said, darn it, I'm throwing kisses at him and he can't even see me. And I wish you could have seen it. These two college boys, one on each side, picks me up and carries me over. We could have fallen. These seats were curved and plucked me down right in front of the receiving line. This is God's truth. So Clinton's coming down and he comes to me. I loved him so. And I said, I write to you, President Clinton. And now give me your hand. I'll show you what he did. He took my hand like this, inside of his hands rough from playing golf, and he says, thank you, dear. And I just about swooned. Those bodyguards must have got a kick out of that.
That's Dorothy.
I mean, is that a pretty good imitation? Or did you not necessarily try to do an imitation?
It captures her spirit pretty well, I think. And we spend a lot of time transcribing these interviews, too. So speech patterns, I think, it's difficult to get away from the actual speech patterns of the interviews.
And, of course, this is radio, so I had the advantage of seeing the expressions, which were also wonderful, that the radio audience can't see now, but you can see them if you go to one of the performances.
That's right.
With Karen Vaccaro. And I remember Reflections of Urbana Seniors. That was representing Dorothy, who was an actress or did act.
Mm-hmm. In her 20s, she acted, and then she took a job teaching at a country school.
And Karen, you've done not a small amount of acting yourself.
No, I've been done quite a bit, yeah.
Chicago, Broadway, off-Broadway. 3 Joseph Jefferson Awards.
Yes.
These are not nominations. These are actual awards.
No, they're actual awards.
Which is, for those who don't know, those are sort of like the Tonys of Chicago theater.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you're in Chicago, these are awards you are very honored to earn. So congratulations on those.
Thank you.
And what has brought you down to Champaign-Urbana?
I love Urbana. And I was all cityed out. Don't get me wrong. I love Chicago and the grandiosity that the city has to offer. And I still go back there and I work there. But I love Urbana. I love living in Urbana. So there you have it. It's my home now. I moved here with my husband and my daughter a couple years ago. And I'm home.
And you've stayed involved in theater?
Yes. Mm-hmm. I've continued to teach and perform and direct at various universities. I directed at the U of I, was a guest artist there, and also Illinois Wesleyan. I directed speech and debate at the Station Theater with Celebration Theater Company. And actually, Bob and I got to work together last fall. We did Yerma as his part of his thesis at ISU. And this piece, so.
Yeah, well, and Bob, you just directed one of the U of I productions.
I did. I directed Killer Joe over for the Department of Theater.
Which we had hoped to get onto this show.
Oh, yeah.
And just the scheduling doesn't work out. Some weeks I can hardly pace enough people to get on the show, and other weeks I can't pay enough people to not be on the show. And these next couple of weeks, we have quite a few interesting guests that I already know about. But if you're interested in either getting on the show or letting us know about your performance event, by all means, tell me at this web address or web email address. It's willcalendar@illinois.edu, because I've got lots of openings after next week. So that's just a little plug for Live and Local. I'm Kevin Kelly, Robert Quinlan, and Karen Vaccaro with us. The musician that you spoke with.
Yes, we are working with Kent Conrad, who is the musician. I should say we do have a musician who is performing with Karen. Mm-hmm.
Well, yeah, you sort of led up to that because I wanted to ask about that.
Yes,
too.
And there's a lot of music in the show, songs that are mentioned by the women in their interviews, and he is a wonderful accompanist and piano player who will also be performing. And we also have a piano player who is one of the characters, which works out nicely.
Not played by Kent.
Not played by Kent. Although he does play some of the music that she talks about.
Does he? Okay.
Within the piece, yeah.
And you sing?
Yes,
Are you a singer?
Yes, I am.
Okay.
She's a wonderful singer.
There's being a singer and there is singing.
Right.
So it depends. All right. So, well, that's good to know. But we're not going to be singing today.
Not today.
Because you need the piano probably.
But I will say that the genre of music is standards from the 30s and 40s. It's
That would have been a good guess. You know, if you're interviewing senior citizens, mm-hmm. probably, you know, the music in their day, unless they happen to be, you know, continue to be in enthralled by current pop music, which mm-hmm. isn't the most mm-hmm. common thing to do. So tell us about the musician or set up this next scene, or else just do the scene, whichever you think is the way to go.
Okay. Well, we interviewed Mary Agnes in the piano room of her home last November.
And she entertained us by playing a lot of music for us during the interview, which was a delight.
And she continues to play, like, daily, weekly. I mean, out, performs, you know, for various groups and country clubs and churches, and she's very prolific. She performs quite a bit.
Mary Agnes.
Mary Agnes.
I had just rolled my hair. We couldn't afford to go to the beauty shop. And the phone rang. Someone named Quinlan or Quick said, I am calling. You applied. Did you have an application? We have an opening for a fifth grade teacher. A teacher has decided to leave our system, and she decided to get married and will no longer be with our system. We are in need of a fifth grade teacher. Would you be interested? And I said, oh, certainly. She said, well, can you come up for an interview? Can you come now? And I said, oh, no. Don't tell people you can't come, right? So I said, could I have 2 hours? And my hair was wet and in curlers. I just was honest, told her the truth. I said, I just washed my hair. It's in curlers. She said, that's okay. Come like that. I said, you're kidding. No. A hat and glove girls grew up? No. No. So I met her 2 hours later with my hair combed out. Yes, nice. And she said, Will, would you be willing to come and help us out just for a couple of months till we can find someone? And I said, Will, sure, I'll try. I'll ask my husband. See, in my day, in my situation, girls didn't have jobs. Oh, young married, you're librarians or teachers or private teachers of elocution. You know elocution. I used to have to do elocution, you know, memorize little poems and things and act them out. So I said, sure, I'll try. Well, I started, and it gets in your blood. I studied those teacher's manuals, and my husband couldn't get me to go to bed. I wanted to stay up and study, work all night on schoolwork.
Mary Agnes, as represented, recreated, I guess, by Karen Vaccaro. It's part of a one-woman show called And I Remember, Reflections of Urbana Seniors, which opens tonight at 7 o'clock at Heartland Gallery, downtown Urbana. Performance is also tomorrow, Friday. What day is today? This is Tuesday. Today's Tuesday. Tomorrow, Thursday, and Friday at other locations in downtown Urbana, which we will run through again in just a moment. Is all of the text directly from the transcripts?
Verbatim, yes. It's
every edited. Nothing is edited out. We have reordered some things and we've cut some things, but the actual text is verbatim from the interviews, as close as we could transcribe it.
Which explains in part why both of these excerpts have sounded like you were the person actually telling the story as opposed to somebody giving dialogue.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, the other part is that you're able to recreate them.
Yes. You know,
as the actress, which is a challenge. Delightful so far. I'm really intrigued about now the poet.
Ah, yes, Char.
Well, Char really is an artist in many ways. She was a visual artist and came to poetry in her 50s. But her career was forming day treatment centers for the mentally ill in the 60s and early 70s, I think.
Mm-hmm.
So she worked as in healthcare for many years, although her artistic background came in.
And, you know, I mean, she has degrees in philosophy. I mean, she has multiple degrees mm-hmm. along with that.
Mm-hmm.
So she's very, she's a really...
A Renaissance woman.
Yes, thank you. Really. Truly. And continues to be.
And this piece is actually about her childhood, which is fairly unique.
Char, represented by Karen Vaccaro here on Live and Local.
So as a second generation, I was born and raised in the Snuggle Inn that Mom and Dad bought from Bobji and Zsa Zsa. So the Snuggle Inn. Now, because it's in Hegwisch, it's a 24-hour day license. So in Chicago, when they're done playing music at the Apollo or any other place, they're all hepped up. They don't want to go to bed. So they come down to the Snuggle Inn. Folks like the guy with the clarinets. What's his name? Goodman. Benny Goodman. And the famous drummer. My mom and I used to visit his gravesite all the time. Krupa. Gene Krupa, good Polish boy, very famous drummer from that era. So Krupa and the Millers and, oh darn, I wish I had taken notes. Many of the big name stars that came down and they drank and jammed and played pinochle. That was a very big thing. So everybody from big band to Rosemary Clooney and Dean Martin and, well, in the early years, Jimmy Durante. I remember entertaining the customers in the early years when Jimmy Durante came on board. Remember the Juicy Fruit gum wrapper? Well, I would take the wrapper and put it on the end of my nose, and then I would get my dad's hat, and whenever Jimmy Durante sang ink a dink a do a dink a dink a dink a do, I went around doing the Jimmy Durante. Good night, Mrs. Calabas, wherever you are.
Just to tell you how realistic this is, you know, when you're asking the questions, I'm wanting to try to answer, you know, the clarinet guy, and I'm thinking, I don't know, who's the clarinet guy? Which is, of course, the visual element added to what you're hearing on the radio here. Karen Vaccaro representing a woman named Char, who was a poet and an Urbana senior citizen, one of the subjects of many interviews done by Karen and Robert Quinlan in preparation for creating this original and one-woman production called And I Remember, Reflections of Urbana Seniors. Karen is the performer, obviously. Robert, director, and additional production staff. I actually heard this initially from a high school student who's your assistant producer, Mara Kinney. And Brittany.
Wonderful.
Yeah, Brittany Patch, assistant director, and you mentioned Kent Conrad, musical director.
That's right.
Reminder of the performance time, but we'll run them through again. Tonight is the opening night, 7 o'clock, Heartland Gallery, downtown Urbana on Main Street. Also on Main Street tomorrow night at V Picasso, also 7 o'clock. And then two performances at Silver Creek Restaurant on Race Street, Thursday at 7 and a Friday matinee at 2 o'clock.
Yeah, and I also want to add that these are free performances.
Oh, really?
They're all free. There is a reservation line just so we can have an idea of who's attending and make sure that people, how many people are attending. And that number is 217-954-0231.
That's correct. We're worried about remembering it. And I have it right in front of me, so I was able to check. Yeah. We'll say it again. 217-954-0231. Thank you, Karen and Bob, very much for
Thank you so much for having us.
And best of luck with the performances.
Thanks.
Thanks a lot.
Hope you have a great house. It's Live and Local on FM 90.9. Our broadcast today is made possible in part with support from Sweeney Brothers, Carpet and Rug Gallery of Bloomington, an authorized Karastan Broadloom and Rug dealer at 11 West Port Court on Bloomington's east side. Sweeney Brothers, where the beauty of a room starts with the floor. We also have support from the Illinois Chamber Orchestra, presenting Got the World on a String, featuring harpist Julia Jameson this weekend with the music of Debussy, Rossini, and more. Friday at St. Agnes Church in Springfield and Saturday at the Second Presbyterian Church in Bloomington. Performances at 7:30 p.m. Information is available at ilsymphony.org.
The music you're enjoying on FM 90.9 is made possible by contributions from listeners like you. In fact, listener support's the single most important source of funding we have, especially these days. We're encouraging listeners who value FM 90.9's news and classical music service to make a contribution during our spring pledge drive, which begins this Saturday. Or you can give online now at willpledge.org. Thanks.
My guest on this portion of Live and Local on FM 90.9 is Gary Shaw. He's professor of trombone at Millikan University, and for the purposes of this conversation, he's also conductor of the Decatur Youth Symphony Orchestra. And they're having a concert Sunday afternoon at, is it 2 o'clock?
2 o'clock.
At Kirkland Fine Arts Center on the Millikan campus.
That's correct.
How long have you been doing the youth orchestra?
Actually, Kevin, this is my 16th year conducting the Decatur Youth Symphony Orchestra. And I have to tell you, this is my last concert. I'm giving up the position at the end of this year. I'm going to be continuing with everything at Millikan, but this is the end of my great time with the youth orchestra.
Wow, so we're catching you just in time.
Just in time, yeah.
So tell me what the experience has been like for all these years.
Well, it really has been great. I never would have imagined that I would have continued working with this group for the past 16 years, but the kids have been terrific to work with. It's been a great sense of accomplishment and feeling like I've done something really worthwhile in my community. I have three sons, and all three of them have played. My oldest son is graduating from high school this year, so that was in the back of my mind, was a goal to continue at least until he graduated. And I've been able to conduct and perform some really terrific orchestral pieces and, do a lot with friends of my kids that I knew in the schools in Decatur at the same time. So I've enjoyed it.
And you also do one of the bands at Millikan as
right,
well.
Right, right. I conduct the wind ensemble and teach trombone and play trombone in the Millikan Decatur Symphony. So I think it's just time for me to try to focus more energy and attention on what I'm doing at Millikan. And unfortunately, have one less thing to have in my mind.
Had you conducted orchestra before?
No, I hadn't. I'm really primarily a wind conductor.
What did you find to be some of the differences in conducting one type of group versus the other?
Well, it really adds, as you know, a completely a new layer to technical problems, because you have, the percussion instruments and the wind and the brass, and now we have the string instruments. So it has a whole new dimension. I mean, the part that's just great is the literature is fabulous. I love band music and I love being a band conductor, but the orchestral literature is just such great music. And I think people would be surprised if they realized that these high school age students love good music, and that was always what was great, is that they never would ask, can we play pop music or any other kind of music. When we played the finale to Beethoven 5, they loved the music. And each year we do a trip to St. Louis to hear the St. Louis Symphony, and we have a bus full of high school students, going to hear an orchestral concert. So I think the general public would really be surprised at the sophistication of their musical tastes.
The orchestra there is a joint project, isn't it, between the schools and Millikan?
Right, it is. It is, and we have a wonderful symphony guild in Decatur that contributes annually to the support of the Millikan Decatur Symphony and to the Decatur Youth Symphony. And the position is funded, actually the salary for the conductor comes from the Decatur School District. It's a part-time position. And then the funding of the youth orchestra, music, guests, coaches to help with sectionals, things like that, is funded by the Symphony Guild. So it's really an ideal job, and there's not a board to answer to. There's some very nice people in the Symphony Guild that pay a lot of attention to the youth orchestra and promote it and support it. And they also, our Symphony Guild also has an annual competition for scholarships for summer camp and lessons at Millikan. So Decatur is really very fortunate in that way.
And you have, I gather you have a solo competition for the orchestra, because your concert has
right.
a number of soloists involved.
Right, right. We have this year four soloists, each playing a movement from a larger work. And proudly, I'll tell you, my son, Zach Shaw, is a piano soloist playing the first movement of the Rowley Miniature Concerto for piano and orchestra.
That's Alec Rowley?
Alec Rowley, yes. And then saxophone, Scaramouche, two movements from that piece by Mio, and the student, Adam Blakey, actually plays bass clarinet in the youth orchestra. And then Kenzie Sellers, playing French horn, is doing the first movement of the Strauss Concerto No. 1. And then Alex Kidd is playing two movements from the Purcell Sonata on piccolo trumpet. And all four of those students are students at MacArthur High School in Decatur and have played in the youth orchestra for a number of years.
And we have a sample of one of those pieces. I don't know which two movements that Adam Blakey will be playing of Darius Milhaud's Scaramouche, but here is the first one from this suite for saxophone and orchestra. The soloist in this recording is Jeremy Brown with the Calgary Philharmonic, conducted by Hans Graf on Live and Local. Opening movement of Scaramouche for saxophone and orchestra by Darius Milhaud. In this performance, Jeremy Brown with the Calgary Philharmonic led by Hans Graf. On Sunday afternoon at 2 o'clock, you can hear Adam Blakey of MacArthur High School in Decatur perform two movements of the work with the Decatur Youth Symphony, whose director, Gary Shaw, is on the show today. I actually talked with him earlier this morning, and we'll continue that conversation in just a moment. Sunsinger Wine and Spirits helps to support our program, and they present a special artisanal beverage tasting to benefit WILO Radio TV Online, Illinois Public Media, on Thursday, April 29th, from 5 to 8 p.m. at the Champaign Country Club. Dozens of craft wines and beers to taste. Tickets are $25 in advance and $30 at the door. For tickets, call WILL at 217-333-7300. How many schools are represented in the orchestra?
I would bet we have got close to 12 schools, plus a number of homeschool students. But we have all of the public schools in Decatur, and then we have students from Taylorville this year, Mount Zion, Warrensburg, and then the parochial school, St. Teresa in Decatur, and a few more that I haven't. I think a couple of middle schools are represented also. So it's I have some people that have come from as far as, you know, an hour and a half away, but mostly it's Macon County area. And I also have the help of, if I do have an open chair, I can ask I usually try with the freshman or sophomore music ed students at Millikan and can pay them a small stipend, and they can sit in the orchestra and play along beside the high school students, and I encourage them to make comments and to help them, and occasionally they can do a sectional for me.
Good. That sounds like a great arrangement. What's the process of getting into the youth orchestra?
Oh, we have auditions right after Labor Day, one night for winds and brass and another night for strings. And I have to coax, I don't know if you find this to be the case, I have to coax a few of them along to get them to not be afraid to audition. But I think it's a good process to go through if you're going to play an instrument and be involved in music. Auditioning is something that we all have to do. And probably the younger you are when you start doing it, the better off you're going to be as far as the nerves and the stress goes. So I've held, throughout 16 years, I've held pretty firmly to that you have to audition to be in the youth orchestra. And, you know, once they get here, try to make it pretty comfortable for them and make it clear it's just to determine whether they are able to play the level of music that I'd like to program. If I think that they will they will benefit by being in the orchestra, and we will benefit by having them, then I accept them. And sometimes I accept a student who is not quite ready, but I think they're taking lessons, and I think if I let them play for a year, the next year they're really going to help the orchestra. And that seems to have worked out quite a few times.
And, of course, they'll become better musicians just from the experience
right.
of having been in there.
Right, right, right. Yeah.
And you rehearse, I assume, once a week?
Once a week, Mondays from 5:15 to 6:45 p.m. I evolved to that time, realizing that way they could do their afternoon activity, and they could come to youth orchestra, and then they could still do their evening activity. I'm sure you've seen that, too. So sometimes it takes 15 minutes before everybody's there, and then 15 minutes before we're over, sometimes people have to start leaving. And every once in a while, you luck out, and everybody's there the whole time. But I think that's the way youth orchestras and youth bands operate in most places, unless you have a really, really deep bench and two or three orchestras at different levels, you know, in a major metropolitan area. I feel like there's a little give and take. I have just one hard and fast rule, and that is that... if you have a conflict, a school conflict, or you're ill, you have to let me know in advance. And as long as they will do that, you know, we're fine. I just would never allow someone to be in the orchestra and just not come to a rehearsal. But I kind of, I just didn't feel like we had the numbers, the pool of players to be able to say, if you have one or two absences, you can't be in the group. I was afraid that would put me in a position that wouldn't work. So anyway, that's how I've operated.
So do you have a full group? Are there any instruments you've had trouble filling in the orchestra?
Well, I'd love to have more violas right now.
Who wouldn't? Who wouldn't?
And I have a funny story, and it seems to have happened quite a few times. Several years ago, I got a call at home in the middle of the summer. I got a phone call from Texas, and it was a man who had just been hired to teach at Millikan. He was going to be head of the language department. He was from Argentina, and he called and he said, "I have three sons, and they play violin." And he told me their ages, and he said, "Is it possible they could play in the youth orchestra?" And I said, I tried not to sound, you know, too eager, but of course, it made the summer, right? How about, do you have a fourth son who plays viola? But anyway, every once in a while there'd be a good surprise like that.
But you've got the wind, the instruments that I have trouble with for a few years now in the youth orchestra based in Champaign are double bass and percussion.
Right. Well, right now I have four percussionists, but all four are graduating.
Oh,
so
man.
I do wonder about that.
That's really why you're retiring, isn't it? You don't want to have to recruit percussionists.
Well, I will say the numbers in the band programs in the schools in Decatur have slipped slightly, and I'm feeling that. And so I don't know where, you know, we do have the whole county, so there could be some, but the new conductor's going to have to do some recruiting. Right now, I have one high school student who plays bass, and I have one Millikan freshman who is actually a clarinet major, and she plays bass. I just saw her walking on campus with a bass.
and you snagged her.
I snagged her. That's right. That's right. So...
did you have to pay her off?
I did. So yeah, a little stipend from the Symphony Guild goes a long way with getting some good help in the Millikan students.
I might have to see what I can do about a stipend over here. We don't have that to offer at the moment.
Yeah, no, that has really helped because I have a second bassoon as a Millikan student, and sometimes if I have don't have a strong enough principal player, then I might get a Millikan student for a time. So I realized that's really, really helped a lot. And also getting that little more mature player sitting in the midst of the orchestra has helped a lot too.
And how did the youth orchestra students respond to having the university students with them?
You know, I've never heard of any problems. In most cases, it's really a positive thing that the Millikan student, you know, gets to know them, encourages them. I've heard Kenzie Sellers is working on her Strauss horn concerto, and there's a Millikan horn player involved, and I've been hearing her after rehearsal playing the concerto for the Millikan student a number of times. Hmm. So there's been some really good mentoring. And most of the time I go for the music ed majors because I think it's really a good way for them to get involved in teaching and seeing what it's like to be with a good high school group. So it's a plus both ways.
And here is a portion of the opening movement of Richard Strauss's first horn concerto. Kenzie Sellers, I believe, is what he said the name of the student is, who is going to be playing that on Sunday with the Decatur Youth Symphony. 2 o'clock is the concert. Gary Shaw is my guest here on Live and Local. He is the conductor of the orchestra. In this performance, we hear Marie-Louise Neunecker with the Bamberg Symphony Orchestra, conducted by Ingo Metzmacher. Just a couple of minutes of the opening movement of Richard Strauss's first horn concerto with Marie-Louise Neunecker and the Bamberg Symphony on Sunday afternoon at 2. You can hear MacArthur High School High School member Kenzie Sellers perform with the Decatur Youth Symphony, 2 o'clock at the Kirkland Fine Arts Center, conducted by Gary Shaw, who's been my guest this portion of Live and Local. We have support for our show today, in part from World Harvest International and Gourmet Foods on the corner of 6th and University in Champaign, providing Champaign-Urbana with an international selection of chocolates, cheeses, oils, balsamic vinegar, jams, spices, barbecue sauces, and more. World Harvest invites you to join them in supporting public radio. Tell me about the rest of your program on Sunday. I should just remind listeners that I'm talking with Gary Shaw, who's conductor of the Decatur Youth Symphony Orchestra, which is a joint project between Millikan University and the public schools in Decatur. And the concert is Sunday afternoon at 2 o'clock at the Kirkland Fine Arts Center on the Millikan campus. So you mentioned the concerto, the solo pieces.
Right.
What about the rest of the program?
Well, we're going to start with the March in Procession from Bacchus by DeLeibs. And I actually have a Millikan student conductor, which I do often. She's a junior, Jennifer Cater, music ed major from Mount Zion, Illinois, and she's actually going to conduct that piece to start the program. And then we commissioned a piece because we do annually a children's concert at Kirkland's Fine Arts Center, and it's this Thursday at 10 a.m., sponsored by the Decatur Area Arts Council. And I think we're going to have about 850 second and third graders. They're bused in from this area for the concert. So it'll be about a 50-minute concert. So we're going to demonstrate the instruments because they'll all be choosing instruments very soon. And I asked a friend of mine who was the band director in Taylorville, his name is Ron Ninmer, to write a piece for the youth orchestra that would feature each section of the orchestra and have each instrument play a little solo. And so he came up with this piece. It's 5 minutes long, and the title is Twinkle. And he decided, I told him he could, you know, use a popular tune if he wanted, and he decided if he selected a popular tune that in 5 years it wouldn't be popular anymore. So he came up with Twinkle, Twinkle, Little Stars as his tune.
Just like and Mozart did.
That's right. Anyway, it's really, really a very clever, very well-written piece. And so we're going to do it for our children's concert, and I like the piece enough, and it's written for us, that we'll play it on our program, too. And I'll give a little background of it. I think he should, you know, we should get the piece out there for especially high school orchestras to hear, because it really, I think, is a perfect piece for a demonstration concert. And you don't actually hear the tune in its entirety until you're about 3 minutes into the piece. So I think that'll work well, because I'll ask the second and third graders to raise their hand when they hear a melody that they recognize. So if you can imagine what that's going to look like in the middle of the piece.
I bet. Well, you know, if you make a recording of it, I'd love to hear it.
Okay. Yes, I will. No, I think it's, I think, and if you're interested in performing it, I'm sure he'd be delighted to have you play it. Yeah, I think it's clever. And it's, the other thing is that, you know, I find if you have a full orchestra with percussion and full brass section, I think it's important that they have something that's interesting, you know, and keeps them involved in playing, because there are so many pieces that don't use all of those instruments. So the other criteria was that it had to involve the whole orchestra. So, it, you know, it's got full percussion, and the percussion section is featured, you know, timpani, snare drum, xylophone, glockenspiel, and suspended cymbal. So,
and then you're doing a piece for percussion ensemble in the concert.
Right. So I've, for quite a while now, I've halfway through the rehearsal, I let the percussionists go to our percussion house. And it started out with our percussion instructor, Brian Justison, and now we have a former Millikan student who teaches in the area. And he has two percussion ensemble pieces that he's working with them. And that's also part of it, keeps them motivated, because there are some pieces that just use one player, just timpani, and if you're able to recruit some good percussionists, then at this level, they need to have some good music to play. So that's worked well also. So they're doing one serious ensemble piece, and then they're doing a piece that's just on buckets. So there's some rhythm and a tune, and they're just using just plain old buckets. So they'll do that at the children's concert as well.
And that's the name of the piece, is
Buckets. Yeah. Yeah.
Sounds very clever.
Yeah.
Well, it sounds like a great concert. Is the admission is free, or is
admission
there a charge?
Admission is free. So
it's Sunday afternoon, 2 o'clock. The
right.
Decatur Youth Symphony, conducted by Gary Shaw, my guest here on Live and Local. And you can hear four soloists from the orchestra, as well as the full orchestral pieces, at Kirkland Fine Arts Center in Decatur. And I appreciate you joining us on the show.
Thank you very much, Kevin.
And congratulations on your long tenure and retirement.
Thank you.
And on tomorrow's Live and Local, we will talk with Desiree Hassler, who is the soprano soloist with the Prairie Ensemble, who are performing their last concert of the season Friday night in Champaign, and also a high school freshman named Blake Quinlan, who is co-author of and director of a couple of one-act plays that are being put on by the Rantoul Theater Group. Support for our broadcast today comes in part from the Corkscrew Wine Emporium at 203 North Vine, Urbana, with wines, beers, and spirits for the serious collector to the first-time buyer. Wine tastings are held every Saturday from 2 to 6. Information is available at 337-7704 or at thecorkscrew.com. This is WYLL, FM and HD Urbana, operating translators W293 AF Danville and W266 AF Urbana.